A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
In a bathroom, a bare-chested man in his 40s switches on a bright white light and picks up a small medical device.
Talent is the ability to hit a target no one else can. Genius can hit a target no one else can see. And if we say in the early 21st century, what is the genius target for us, for our time and place? And I would put forward that it's the ability to stop our self-destructive behaviors and neutralize aging.
He weighs himself. Words appear. A Netflix documentary.
You must have heard of the curious case of Benjamin Button, a story where a man ages in reverse. One man wants to achieve that feat. His name is Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson is determined to live forever or die trying and is putting his vast fortune and own body on the line to achieve it.
A Library Films production.
As a species, we accept our inevitable decay, decline, and death. I want to argue that the opposite should be true. I walked into this because I was marching into an early grave. And now I've built an algorithm that takes better care of me than I can myself. I think this is the first time in the history of the human race that it is not known how long and how well I can live.
The man in his 40s, Brian, stares at a camera.
3, 2, 1, action. This is the man spending millions to become 18 years old once again, Brian Johnson.
My name is Brian Johnson. I've been spending millions of dollars creating an anti-aging protocol.
2 dozen supplements and medicines, exercise an hour a day, plus high intensity 3 times a week.
This 45-year-old millionaire has reversed his age by 5 years.
His doctors claim he has the heart of a 37-year-old.
Using his life as a science experiment to see just how long he can live.
AKA Project Blueprint.
Hi everyone. For the past 3 years, we've been trying to master the basics, sleep, diet, exercise. Today, we're doing the first next level therapy, gene therapy.
Oh, shut up, Brian. Fucking Brian.
Anything taken to an extreme can potentially be harmful to the body.
I don't think I particularly want 33,000 images of my bowels.
You gotta have a bit of fun in your life. Where do you find the fun?
When do you go raging?
Do we really believe that he went from being old to young? I don't.
If I had $400 million, I wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
This is not an accessible method of reversing the effects of aging.
This guy's in his own fucking world. It's not really reality.
If you look at all the discussions about me, many times people will say, this is a rich person trying to live forever. Is it going to be so awesome when they get hit by a bus? Lol. Because these are really hard ideas to get your head around. And so to me, the only relevant thought experiment that each of us can do is, do we want to live tomorrow? Most of us are going to say yes. If we feel healthy and well, there's always something to do tomorrow. And so I want people to embrace that day to day until eventually we say, don't die.
The title appears, Don't Die. A sprawling beachside city. Words appear. Los Angeles, California. A modern two-story house with a flat roof and sage green brick and wood walls is surrounded by trees and bushes. Inside, Brian strides past floor-to-ceiling windows, opens a door, and steps outside. He strolls past a barbecue and table tennis and steps into a gym decorated with forest wallpaper.
This is the gym, and it's my happy place. Every morning, I come in here, and I exercise for roughly an hour. I do about a 35 exercise circuit. Everything we do, we measure it. So we're able to see in a closed loop way, is it working or is it not?
What are you finding?
So I had a whole body MRI recently, and I'm in the 99th percentile for optimal for both muscle and fat across my entire body.
Have you ever been this in shape before?
No, never in my life. It feels good.
He pulls on a tank top.
Hey, Ollie.
Brian on a video call.
Ollie, we'll do the blood draw real quick.
Let's do it.
Oliver Zollman, MD, longevity consultant.
Dr. Oliver Zollman and I were connected by a friend. Oliver had spent his entire adult life scouring the literature on anti-aging science.
When Brian first reached out, he seemed a bit lost. Whatever he was doing didn't really seem like it was working optimally for him. So I showed him my longevity level 1, 2, 3 protocol.
Level 1 is doing the basic stuff, diet, exercise, and then each layer you go up, it gets more sophisticated. His approach was, in order to understand human aging, you needed to look at the organ level, because the heart is going to age differently than the lungs, and the lungs differently than the kidney.
In a grocery store.
Previously, I would use my mind to decide what to eat. So at the grocery store, walking down the aisles and looking at this thing and that thing and put it in the cart. Zolman flipped that on its head and said, what if I asked my organs to speak for themselves? What if the heart and the liver and the lungs could actually speak what they need? And then my responsibility is to do exactly what the body tells me to do.
Blueprint is Brian doing this level 1, 2, 3 protocol to the most that it's ever been done. He's been the best guinea pig anyone can ask for.
Brian uses a light therapy device.
It's probably over 100 different things I do any given day that the body has asked for to be in its ideal state. And that begins with, in the morning I wake up, I turn a specific light on my bathroom that gives me sun-like exposure. I take 3 pills. I do my body temperature with an inner ear measurement. Go downstairs, start HRV therapy. So I put a little electrode here in my ear and it stimulates my autonomic nervous system, trying to make my body more parasympathetic and more chill. I take 54 pills with a concoction that I call the Green Giant. I put a cap on my head for hair growth that has 312 laser diodes. Then I work out for an hour, come in, eat a few pounds of vegetables. I do some high-frequency electromagnetic stimulation on my abdomen. I do 12 minutes of near and red light therapy to accelerate healing. I do audio therapy for my hearing regeneration. I have my last meals to eat before 11 a.m., 34 more pills to take. There's protocols throughout the day here and there. And then my nighttime routine. By doing Blueprint, one of the key objectives is to achieve the lowest possible biological age. So just like a tree has rings, we all have a signature inside of our body of our age. After doing Blueprint now for 2 years, I've reversed my biological age 5.1 years. I have 50 perfect biomarkers. I have 100 biomarkers where I'm less than my chronological age. And my speed of aging is 0.69, which means for every 12 months, I age 8 months. In terms of how far this goes, it's open-ended. We have no idea. But I want to take my speed of aging to the lowest possible number.
Words, pace of aging at start of Blueprint, 1.03. And after 2 years on Blueprint, 0.69.
Step back a little bit. Yeah. And then a little bit closer to the bed.
A blonde woman photographs Brian.
Great.
Brian poses.
And then you can just like literally just rattle everything off.
Okay. So today is a very exciting day for me because for the very first time ever, after tracking my sleep for 4 years, I achieved my first perfect month. So I have an average of 100% sleep performance for 30 days. I go to bed at 8:30 p.m. I've averaged 8 hours and 34 minutes of sleep every night. The body loves routine, so go to bed at the exact same time every night, no excuses. Sleep is not something that can be dismissed. So hopefully these tips help you, that you can start inching towards better sleep. It will change everything in your life.
Wonderful. Okay, good.
Kate, what's your role in this?
I don't even know how to describe it.
The blonde woman, Kate Tolo.
Take a stab.
I am here on the mission, trying to make whatever needs to happen happen in order to get there. That's my role.
Kate has been with me from the very beginning of Blueprint, yeah.
How do you feel? Are you converted?
To be honest, when I first started, I was eating McDonald's, so philosophically converted. When I first met Brian, it was not healthy, and we started talking about the philosophy of Blueprint. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, when I laugh about not being fit and not being able to exercise and that kind of stuff, I'm kind of laughing in the face of my future self. Like, I don't want to be that person, you know, when I'm 60 and I'm unable to run around or, yeah.
Can
I get you turning off?
So it was a huge wake-up call for me. Now, here I am, like, the other person behind this mission.
I mean, like, you could beef it up by saying, like, every morning I do the same four-hour routine, and this is what starts it off.
That's good.
When we first started working together, Brian asked me to develop the communication side of things. His big ambition was to get Blueprint out to the people so that we can all learn from what Blueprint is up to. But it was like hitting our head against the wall for a little while because it was just a bit of an empty void on the internet. And then one day, I had this idea. What if we publish all of his biometric data online and made it a thing that people could witness and watch?
The protocols, the measurements, the recipes, the supplements, we published it all on my website. And this journalist I knew, Ashley Vance, saw this and expressed an interest in doing a profile on Blueprint.
Ashley. Brian put all of his stuff online. I was like, all right, this guy's somewhere between off and, like, very interesting. I went to visit him at his house with his own home laboratory, and we just kind of, like, started talking.
When doctors visit our clinic here, they get pretty excited because we have outfitted this so that we can be a medical-grade operation at every level.
And I started just asking him questions. He's like, okay, I spent $2.5 million on all this stuff. And this was not a professional athlete who was spending this much money on his body. It was just this random tech guy who's just, you know, absolutely going further than what anyone else had done. And so that's when I really knew this actually was a story.
I remember the day before the article came out, Kate and I were in my office, and we both had this moment of crisis. Like, oh no, like, what have we done?
Piers Morgan.
One man, he spent $2 million to effectively reboot his body. Millionaire entrepreneur Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson is on a quest to live longer.
All of a sudden, every spotlight was turned on Brian and the project, and everything we worked on was under intense scrutiny.
I think his rectum went viral, his rectal biological age.
There was so much online, videos people were making, and it's just kind of a blur.
We were inundated with interest. Every single product that we published on the Blueprint website was sold out within days. Nobody could get anything that we used. We couldn't either. We had suppliers calling us saying, what is going on? It also unlocked a colossal amount of hate.
I actually would say he doesn't look that healthy.
There's something super weird about looking young forever.
Like, he takes like 40 vitamins in the morning and 40 more in the afternoon.
That seems tedious.
I know, it's like, I'd rather just die sooner.
And the irony of this specifically is, you're seeking more time when you're not even living the time you've been given.
Yes, yeah,
and I find this so vapid.
Ashley.
I think for most people, the longevity field has always been looked at skeptically. It's just these rich Silicon Valley types chasing the fountain of youth.
Jeff Bezos threw more money behind an obsession to become among the billionaires on a quest to defeat aging. Space,
yeah, they're trying
internet, and now live forever.
Jeez.
It's like seen as strange and fringe. It just so happens it is a real field of science. There are proper doctors and scientists that look at this.
Dr. Andrew Steele, scientist and author.
We're all so used to watching our friends and relatives and pets age and die, we think it's somehow natural and therefore somehow good. But I describe aging as our greatest humanitarian challenge. Aging causes cancer. Aging causes heart disease. Aging causes dementia. Aging causes stroke. It makes us more susceptible to infections. It makes us more frail. And actually, if you look at causes of death across the world today, the leading killers are these diseases like cancer and dementia and heart disease.
I think the real promise of this field is that we have the opportunity, by targeting the biology of aging, to delay or prevent many, maybe all, of the functional declines and diseases that go along with old age. And that's huge.
We're still, I would say, at an early stage, but there's already been a number of breakthroughs. There's already a number of interventions, including drugs and diets, that in animal models slow down the process of aging.
We have robust evidence that we can extend the lifespan of a mouse. So if you're a mouse, we've got you covered. But what that also means is that we have a lot of things to test in humans.
Testing Tuesday.
Good morning.
Let's get started.
We are experimenting and we are trialing out, and I think we will have a revolution in the next coming 10 years of very specific interventions we can apply to humans to then lower the biological age.
You could get within 4 millimeters.
That's a lot better.
I know, that's really great.
I'm benefiting from decades of progress that people have made in the world of anti-aging science. And the scientific interventions are moving forward very fast. And so it has a tangible sense of it's here. And I want people to know about it.
At home, Brian poses naked.
I think we light him up.
Okay.
I think a little more. Yeah. I think I just need a little bit of an angle with your whole legs and everything, if you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do another test.
Kate glances at the shots of Brian.
Wow. That's so striking.
Yeah, hopefully it captures the new zeitgeist that we're after.
Yeah, I think everything looks good. I'll just go at different heights.
A teenage boy glances over.
Chin up a little bit. Yeah.
My poor son. He comes home and he never knows what's going to be happening here.
That's great.
Brian plays table tennis with his son.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Brian kisses the ball and serves. They play. Brian hits the net with the ball.
Ah!
How's Brian as a dad?
He's a pretty good dad.
Yeah. When his mother and I split, he was with her for the past couple years. And then he decided to move across the country and live with me for his senior year. Ah, oh, good job. Tom has found his stride. He's been smoking me.
What's your take on Blueprint?
When the article came out, everyone's like, oh, isn't that your dad? So I got like so many texts from friends and people at school asking me all about it.
Worth it.
Did people think it was cool or did they think you guys were weirdos?
Both. Yeah. Even though I've been at my school for months now, people are still asking me questions every day about it.
Oh no! You played so well.
That was a good rally.
That was good.
I've been around Brian since before Talmadge was here. And I remember thinking, like, how is Brian going to get used to having Talmadge around, like, another human being in his space every single day? Because he's such a private, introverted individual. But now it's like he's completely restructured his life around Talmadge being here.
In the kitchen, Brian looks at Talmadge.
Today is an exciting day because how many schools did you apply to?
15.
How many schools have rendered their decisions?
12, not including today.
So this is the last. And then now you're going to have all the information you need to make a decision on what college you're going to go to. And you're going to leave me in 5 months.
Talmadge puts his hand on his father's shoulder.
Yes.
I only have 150 days left with Talmadge, which makes me incredibly sad.
We should get going. We don't be late.
There is just never enough time. Hey, welcome. Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for opening your house and showing us everything.
Next challenge.
Yep, let's go.
You're vegan.
Yeah, I'm vegan by choice. Talmadge and I eat the exact same thing every day. Every day. And then I've been working on the splits, so we'll go do the splits as we eat breakfast.
Okay.
I think if you really want to live the Brian Johnson lifestyle, the commitment to that is obscene.
I do 2,000 calories a day.
Are you ever hungry?
I'm pretty hungry.
Okay.
The saddest part of my day is the last bite.
Your entire day revolves around this quite solitary, very rigid kind of lifestyle.
Wait, Brian. You can't see sunlight. Can you go in the sun?
The UV index is well below dangerous levels, so we're good to go.
It seems sort of like depressing and like what kind of life are you leading if you're just giving yourself up to this?
Brian is on a Zoom call.
You know, it's interesting because obviously you have like this extra level of discipline. But we know, for instance, about cigarettes, that people who smoke a lot, like if you smoke 3 packs a day, on average, you'll live 11 years less than people who don't smoke.
So what you're saying is almost like an advanced version. Like if I cut out smoking, I'll live 11 years more than average. If I cut out drinking, I'll live 5 years more than average, and on and on. And yet people know this about smoking and they still smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. Our minds, which we think are our primary tool of problem solving, is actually the source of our self-destructive behaviors. Mm. So I would argue the mind is dead.
What the f-? Sorry, the mind is dead? And the goal is to give complete control of your well-being over to an algorithm? You know who says stuff like that? Algorithms.
The first reaction most people have is panic. It's like, well, my free will is the only reason I exist, and if I can't eat what I want to eat, then I have no reason to exist.
Yeah, it tastes like nutrition.
That's just a knee-jerk reaction. It's just the mind panicking because it feels like its authority is in question.
Ready?
The conscious mind is desperate to hold on to power. The catch is, we can't trust our minds because the way we've structured society right now is insane.
Every day we eat millions of burgers, pizzas, and French fries. Now scientists say we may not only be feeding ourselves, we may be feeding an addiction.
City streets.
We expect people on their way to work to pass 20 fast food places, 20 places selling sugary drinks. We ask them to navigate the addictiveness of social media, the world's most powerful algorithms, trying to get them to spend every waking second on the algorithm.
What?
Navigate alcohol and the smoking and binge watching and porn and every other form of addiction. And then we look at the individual and say, why aren't we happier?
A woman eats.
We have lost touch with basic self-care. We're inebriated. We can't see straight. Even though we know that eating the wrong kinds of foods or drinking or smoking or not prioritizing sleep accelerates aging, disability, even death, we can't stop.
Videos of people.
We're in a fight for our lives with ourselves.
In the bathroom, Brian bare-chested washes his face. A light perched on the counter emits a bright white light. In the kitchen, Brian takes a container of food out of the fridge.
I have found more relief in demoting my mind and elevating my body than I have in my entire life. It feels so liberating to me because my entire life, I was desperate to be free from myself.
In a home movie, a young blonde boy grins. On a swing set, he plays with a couple of other kids.
From when he was young, Brian was a problem solver.
Photos of Brian as a baby. Ellen Huff, Brian's mom.
When he was in junior high, he knew that we didn't have very much money. And so there's times like when Brian would not eat lunch and contribute his lunch money. He was always coming up with something to help the family.
Richard Johnson.
I remember at some point, Brian took a job at a sandwich shop, but that was short-lived. Brian said that he would never work for anybody ever again. You know, that kind of, I'm going to do it by myself.
Now, Brian, you're a lifelong entrepreneur.
I am.
What do you think you learned more from, the success or the failures?
I never dwelled on failure. It didn't discourage me. It was just
in the beginning, my entrepreneurial adventures had little to zero success. I had a baby. I couldn't pay the bills. And so I took the only job I could find, which was selling credit card processing door to door. This experience got me interested in the world of payments. So I started poking around and I saw that PayPal was the dominant payment provider that had grown up during the internet. But then once eBay had acquired them, the development had discontinued. So I started Braintree with the idea of building modern software.
He had this little tiny office. He was working on a card table.
Please don't do that. No, please don't do that.
I don't know when he got a desk.
I didn't take any outside capital. We were one of the fastest growing companies in America twice. We acquired Venmo in year 5, and we became part of the global payments infrastructure.
All right, everybody, let's give it up for Brian Johnson.
It was so exciting. So I don't think that I realized that there was also that other side that was haunting him.
I couldn't believe how much effort people put into building the company. It was amazing. Staying there all night, multiple nights in a row.
When I was building Braintree Venmo, I was just grinding myself into the grave.
A photo of Brian at work.
It was a social norm that an entrepreneur would go days without sleeping. And if you told that story, people would be in awe and there would be mythology about you, like, amazing that they did this. Now I view this as totally foolish. I would wake up the next day, ornery and not feeling restored, and then having to muster up the strength to walk in and be like, all right, everybody, we're going to work hard and we're going to solve all these burning problems that are going on. I was stressed out of my mind.
Careful.
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 Stop it.
Careful.
Stop it.
I'm turning this off.
coming home at night and dealing with three kids, I'd be exhausted and unpleasant. After a guaranteed fight with a partner, I would turn to unhealthy food as my soothing mechanism.
Pure sugar.
And of course, that just made things worse because my sleep would then suffer and it would just compound upon itself. I was miserable.
A family photo.
I remember one particular visit. He didn't say too much, but at the end, I could tell that it was a really difficult time for him. And when he left, I cried.
Ellen nods as her face crumples.
Had you ever seen him that way?
Mm-mm. And I didn't know till then.
The central clock tower of the Salt Lake City and County building stands over the elaborately carved sandstone building.
Sundays were my hardest days because I would go to church. And everything about being there made me dissolve.
A statue is perched on a spire.
Growing up in the Mormon church, my entire family was there, my entire community was there, and it gave me all the answers to existence. It had stories about what existed before this life, why we are here on this earth, what's after life. But with the intensity of what life was delivering up, I felt like those answers, the only reality I knew, didn't make sense anymore. I was kind of just dropped into this nothingness.
I remember discussions with him where he was having real problems with the religion. Not just like some kind of philosophical dispute. These were things that were so integrated into him, he was having physical symptoms.
I would come home from church, and I would lay on my bed. My son at the time, who was 7 years old, he would sense something was wrong and he came up and he would rub my back. And I was not able to even move.
Brian sleeps in his bed.
And the only thought that would soothe me was the idea of doing a deal with the devil and ceasing to exist. I didn't want an afterlife. I didn't want this life. I didn't want consciousness at all.
A grave-faced Brian turns away. The image disappears and the screen turns to black. On board a boat, lurching from side to side on a turbulent sea.
What changed?
My mind was like a vicious storm, telling me to literally kill myself. And it became clear to me that the mind is not a reliable source of judgment. I needed a different way of being.
Photos of Brian performing indoor and outdoor activities, such as biking on the beach.
It took me several years to rebuild myself. In that time, I sold my company, Braintree Venmo. I got a divorce. I left my born into religion. And ultimately, I found strength and liberation in doing Blueprint.
Brian walks through his house.
When I give my body authority, it doesn't commit this self-destructive harm. My heart doesn't deliver these stinging insults. My lungs don't do it either. My kidney doesn't either. Removing my mind has been the best thing I've ever done in my life. But leaving the church fractured my life with my family.
Ellen.
When Brian decided to leave the church, it was very heartbreaking for me. And I had to go through a process of thinking about the person he is and thinking about what he's doing with his life to find peace.
A family photo, Talmadge.
Family is a fundamental teaching of Mormonism. And when my dad left the religion, it felt like it was violating that teaching and that we couldn't be a family anymore. So I definitely, as a 8-year-old, I viewed him as losing his path.
A photo of Brian with a young Talmadge outside Brian's house. Inside, Talmadge picks up a book off of a table and flips through the pages.
Yeah, this book. Oh, man. I went to a church camp last summer before I came out here, and we had these booklets to take notes in. And while everyone else was taking notes about, you know, feeling the spirit, feeling good, the community, scripture, I was taking notes about trying to decipher everything. I felt like I was in this system and I was trying to take it apart.
Photos of Talmadge.
prior to moving to California, I was in Mormonism, but ever since I was young, it had never really been my thing, and no one in there saw me or saw the situation I was in. I couldn't talk to anyone. Over the years, me and my siblings would visit my dad periodically, and I started to let my dad in a bit.
Talmadge started inquiring me of certain things, like what about this and what about that, and we established this rapport with each other where we were able to have these honest dialogues.
He just saw me so clearly. He knew the situation I was in. It was wild because when I would talk, he would then articulate what I was thinking, and I slowly came to the realization that I wanted to get out of the religion in any way possible. After multiple attempts, I eventually managed to come out here and spend my last year of high school with him.
You know, a lot of my friends, or people in general, feel like their parents misunderstand them. Mm. And it takes some experience to unify them. So it kind of makes sense with us. It took leaving the church. And now, with that shared experience, we can connect on so many deeper levels.
Mm. Me and my dad, we have the best thing going on. But no one agreed with it. Like, I can't think of a single person who was like, you know what, Talmadge, you should do that. That'll be good for you. It was like coming to live with Satan.
Brian and Talmadge pose for a photographer. In the gym, Talmadge slides a weight onto a barbell.
All right, should we do this?
Let's do it.
I increased my weight on my curls.
I noticed.
Brian, bare-chested and wearing a pair of shorts, lifts a barbell.
How's my hip on this, Dad?
Talmadge bends his knees as he holds a barbell behind him.
I'm impressed you can do that after that many.
Brian has a heart rate chest strap across his bare chest.
Wow. That's art.
Talmadge exercises on a mat.
I wish I had Talmadge's legs. He's kind of the perfect specimen.
As Brian exercises on a machine, he watches his son.
But you've heard that Brian wants to become Talmadge.
Oliver Zollman.
Yeah, so... yeah, it's important not to over-rejuvenate because there could be side effects.
Have you told that to Brian?
Oh, yeah, we discussed this at length.
Amir? Up until this point, we've been doing things people are familiar with. Diet and exercise and sleep. And it's almost like, okay, what's the next level? We looked at every health span and lifespan study that's ever been done, whether it be on humans or mice, and then rank them according to their efficacy, their ability to extend life. And now we're trying to figure out how to do them.
We started a human growth hormone. And so you just stab this in the leg and then you press it.
Some of these therapies can be very dangerous.
And then it's a little teeny needle, you see that?
But we are on the side of, you know, extreme caution. We're doing high frequency measurements across the whole body. So if we do start seeing side effects, we pick them up fast and try some other therapy.
How many pills do you take a day?
Today it'll be 130. It's yours.
26.
We know that it's unrealistic for a normal person to do this wildly rigorous routine. But I think what Brian is trying to do as the first prototype for Blueprint is do the absolute extreme thing.
Brian has a facial treatment.
I absolutely acknowledge that not everyone has the time and the resources and the life circumstances that can do it. I'm trying to be on the absolute outermost edge of possibility for the science. I'm trying to show what's possible.
Oliver.
It's pretty safe so far, and maybe it'll work, and maybe we can learn something from it, and then take that out, and everyone else can benefit sooner rather than later.
In the kitchen, Brian is at the sink, rinsing off a utensil.
Today is rapamycin day. So rapamycin is a drug that people use to suppress the immune system when they're getting an organ transplant. So you get a new organ in the body, you don't want the immune system to reject it, and so you take rapamycin and it suppresses the immune system. I take this because there's potentially some longevity benefits. It's the kind of thing in the longevity community that people are excited about. Outside the longevity community, it's still kind of crazy. Like, you know, if you're like, yeah, I take an immune-suppressing drug, people are like, that's wacky. Like, why would you ever do that?
Dr. Andrew Steele.
Rapamycin was a drug that was first discovered in soil bacteria that were isolated on Easter Island.
What happened in 2009 was that a really rigorous study in mice found that it can extend lifespan. And it didn't just keep them alive for longer, it kept them healthier for longer as well. And this has been demonstrated in study after study in loads of different conditions, in loads of different labs. The only thing we're lacking is human data.
Dr. Brian Kennedy, professor.
Honestly, I think rapamycin is probably still the most robust candidate for something that would affect human longevity, but they have to be used with caution because you can have bad things happen when you take too much.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13.
Because it suppresses the immune system role, side effects can include very dangerous bacterial infections, things like pneumonia or cellulitis or pharyngitis.
Brian.
To avoid negative effects, we took a dosage and measured the levels in my blood. 2 hours after taking the dose, 24, 48, 72, 96.
You can start seeing if you get too high levels or too low levels, then adjust the dose based on that.
You know, with this precise formulation, as far as we know, we are on the most aggressive rapamycin protocol of anyone in the industry.
Dr. Vadim Gladyshev, Harvard professor.
Do you follow Brian Johnson at all?
I've met him before. Mm-hmm.
What's your take on what he's doing?
Vadim raises his eyebrows. Brian posts about using rapamycin.
Some of the interventions that he takes, like rapamycin, they work in mice. We don't know if they would work in humans. We need to have properly designed experiments. Then we could make scientific conclusions. But what Brian's doing, it's not a scientific approach.
This is the supplement warehouse.
He's taking hundreds of different interventions. And that means it's very, very hard to identify which, if any, of them are working. What you really need to do is a clinical trial where you get thousands of people, not just one, and you give them all the same intervention at the same dose.
Matt Kaeberlein.
I think there's value in these individual N-of-1 experiments where people are testing different things on themselves, but it's never going to be accepted by the broader medical community or regulatory agencies. We need the more rigorous clinical trials.
Brian blocked me on Twitter because I suggested that he use some of his hundreds of millions of pounds to fund a clinical trial, specifically the TAME trial, which wants to find out if metformin is actually an anti-aging drug. Brian takes metformin, so if he wants to know if what he's doing is actually of any use to him, then it'll be of huge value to him and the rest of the longevity community to fund this trial. But I'd guess he didn't like me telling him how to spend his money.
A man sips a drink.
Whoa, that's really good.
What Brian does, I guess, brings attention to our field. This will be positive, but it has almost no contribution to science, right? It's not science, it's just attention.
So, yeah, we're going to be filming some shorts. We've been playing around with doing that. So we're upping our social media game.
Yeah, we had our first victories. The past 2 weeks, we had two of our videos get a few million views.
Three, just on Instagram.
And one on TikTok is approaching. I get messages all the time, like, hey, can I get connected with your PR firm? Well, you're talking to it, like, there's yeah. Two of us.
Come on, Fry Guy.
I appreciate this.
Let's go.
Is that all you got? I think you just ate a little.
YouTube sent us a box presented to Brian Johnson for passing 100,000 subscribers.
Brian holds an award.
A lot of people are clearly very interested in anti-aging. We're all aging. We'd all probably like to know how to slow it down at least a little bit. Brian Johnson, if you look at the media that he's doing himself, he's clearly intending to reach as many people as possible. The real question is, what's his motivation?
Today I'm going to show you about this device I use to do the equivalent of 20,000 sit-ups in 30 minutes.
You sound like an infomercial.
I know, I was going to say, like, something's wrong here. If you buy right now, the button, lower right, $19.99, four easy installments, free shipping.
Brian Johnson is going to die one day. Furthermore, it is my personal opinion that Brian Johnson is a grifter who, regardless of whether or not he actually believes he's going to live forever, is absolutely trying to make a quick buck off of people who are terrified of the idea of death and who have more money than common sense.
Yeah, I got something special today.
What is this?
This is the very first Blueprint product we have.
Brian Johnson's Blueprint
ultra premium extra virgin olive oil.
This is the oldest trick in the book as far as self-help scams and just plain old marketing go. You convince people of the problem and then sell them the solution.
Scene 1A, take 1, A-roll.
Get me on your anti-aging routine and do it fast, but make it simple. That's the most common thing I hear. How's that?
Andrew.
I think that Blueprint is a commercial enterprise. If you go onto his website, every single link on that Blueprint page is an Amazon affiliate link, which means that if you click on it and buy something on Amazon, he gets a small cut of the money. So this whole thing, I think, has been optimized as a money-making venture. I mean, obviously, he's very rich. He's a very talented businessman, so that's going to be the way that he looks at things.
Smells like olive oil.
I would say very similar to most olive oils.
A lot of the hate that we get at Blueprint is kind of interesting in that I make products available for people to also become healthy and make the life changes they want to do, and people hate on me.
Tastes like shit.
I see some people on Twitter giving him a really hard time for all the merchandise. I've followed him for years, and I'm 100% convinced this was not, like, the master plan. I remember he was trying to do Blueprint for a couple years, and it was this very personal quest.
That's a lot of volume. 7 of these today.
He turned to this hardcore health regimen as the solution to these mental health problems. Yeah, I think he believes in what he's doing.
It's a huge difference.
I imagine this is, like, emotional for you in a sense that, like, it sounds like you weren't completely happy with your past self.
No. I feel like that person's gone.
In the kitchen, Brian scoops food out of a container and onto a plate as Talmadge drinks a spoonful of oil. Brian places a plate down beside 2 dishes piled high with food.
Should I do this in portrait mode, or...?
Brian holds his phone above the dishes of food.
You should probably get better lighting, though. I have an idea.
Talmadge uses the flashlight on his phone.
Oh, I think that looks good.
Cool idea. The morning rituals that Talmadge and I have together, it's a big part of our lives. Let's see, what do you think? But soon, Talmadge will be doing this in his dorm in Chicago. And I will be here by myself.
How do you feel about that, Talmadge?
Talmadge is not looking at this from a fear of loss. Talmadge is looking at this from an opportunity of gain, and particularly a girlfriend.
Potentially.
Grinning, Brian glances at his son and nods.
Can I make my pills?
Yes.
As Talmadge crosses the kitchen, Brian smiles and nods.
Because I remember when I was going to college as well, loss of anything in my family environment was not even on my radar. It was entirely about all the new life experiences.
Yeah, I'm excited. I do view it as an opportunity for gain. But there is loss too.
Yeah.
Talmadge drops pills into containers.
Going through this experience, I guess it invites me to have a lot more empathy for my parents and what they may be going through. Like my dad, if you think about him and age, he said the other day, he Googled what happens when you turn 70 or when you're over 70. And he said, jokingly, don't do it. Like, every morning you wake up and it's like, how am I doing? Is there one more thing that's broken or that hurts more? Like, I wonder what that must feel like.
Beneath an overcast sky, traffic flows along a city street. Words appear, Provo, Utah. In a house, a gray-haired man, Richard Johnson, Brian's dad, swallows a spoonful of liquid.
I've always been a mental guy. I've always thought that I could honestly think about 10 things at the same time. But I got to the point where I would write a paragraph that didn't make sense. That scares me to death.
One day, my father called, panicking. He said I would do anything to continue with my mental acuity. And I said, Dad, I'm doing this plasma therapy for myself. There are other people who are doing it for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. And I said, you know, if you're interested, you can come to Texas with me. And, like, I would love to give you a liter of plasma.
There it is. There's the plasma.
Dr. Horvath.
There are certain interventions that truly reverse the ages. For example, this idea of young blood plasma. The reversal effect can be observed in this study where researchers connect a young mouse to an old mouse. They literally connect their arteries and veins, so there's a blood exchange. And you can see that young plasma circulated through the old mouse reverses the epigenetic ages of multiple organs. In one study, we saw a reversal of 50% in a rat. Then in another study more recently in mice, 30%.
Brian.
When we're looking at plasma, I guess option one, you'll sew me together with a with a young human. That's not practical, so we said we can't do that one. So the next case is we look at these plasma exchanges.
I didn't see the vision at first, but Brian told me that this would be someone doing something for their loved one that mattered. It was actually an investment in their health by giving them some of your health.
And so I tell Talmadge, I'm like, hey, like, Grandpa's pumped about this. So we start talking, and like, we said, what if you did it too? You donate your plasma to me, I will to Dad. It'll be this multi-generational thing. What do you think? And he instantaneously said, yes, I'm in.
We're 34,000 feet. We're flying to Dallas. We just had some food. Talmadge is right behind me.
On an airplane, Talmadge glances up and waves as he eats.
I need to check in to see what he's eating to make sure his plasma's okay.
The plasma stuff always sounds super creepy to anyone who hears about it for the first time. But Brian was not the first guy to do this. Years ago, there would be these stories about Peter Thiel, the venture capitalist, one of the first investors in Facebook, draining the blood of some young, healthy people. I'm not sure that that's true, but this all got out into the wild. It sort of got parodied in the show Silicon Valley.
Everything okay? Is Price your assistant? No, of course not. He's my transfusion associate.
Most Silicon Valley people, if they had a blood boy, they didn't want anybody to know about it, but Brian, being Brian, kind of embraced all of this and was out there parading his blood boys around on Twitter, taking photographs.
You guys look awesome.
It did have the elements of, like, absurdity that I thought would come with Brian having the whole family show up as if you were going to, like, a ball game, except you were just all gonna swap plasma.
Brian approaches a bus.
What? The plasma bus got decorated. Love flows from the heart.
I guess it's really the vein, but this is amazing.
Brian is hooked up to a machine.
Hey, look at that. That's pretty plasma.
And so what's good about this?
The color's really nice. It's pristine.
I'm actually honestly scared that it's going to be more clear than mine. Like, it'll be embarrassing. So, like, I'm hoping, you know, it's good, but I'm also...
Yeah, I understand that.
It's competition.
I understand that. I mean, this is the way you can tell, am I a fraud or not? Right? Like,
absolutely.
All right, haters. Yeah. What'd you say about this?
I have identified the world's first vampire. Anti-aging fanatic who spends more than $2 million per year to retain youth uses teen son as, quote, blood boy.
Bruh.
His son needs to watch out right now.
His son needs to run.
Oh, the Daily Mail's up.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of the comments on the Daily Mail. What a weirdo, disgusting, and satanic. What a waste of time. Oh, humanity's so great.
A headline reads, millionaire exchanges blood with father and son to stay young.
The plasma transfer blew up on social media. And of course, the easy place to go is vampire, blood draw, blood boy. And the mean spiritus, instead of drawing my ire and my absolute anger, really made me sad.
All right, Dad. Let's get you a new pillow.
One thing people don't get, this was an event that transcended a trial of a therapy.
You know how special this is. You know, the connection and everything. This is just like a manifestation of all that commitment, everything else.
Yeah, better than words.
Better than words.
When you become invested in the other person to the point that you step up and you share biology, having that kind of intimacy with both Brian and with Talmadge, for me, it was a chance to reconcile.
Footage of Richard and Ellen's wedding day.
When I was early married, you would never see a more serious MF-er in Mormonism than me. But the problem was, it was not my life.
When I was younger, my father went through some difficult times with professional challenges and drugs.
His mom and I separated and got a divorce. At that time, I wasn't sure whether to find a girlfriend or have a line of coke to go to temple or go have a scotch. When your life is so screwed up to that point, you have no idea what your moral standards are, it all falls apart.
It was like a 95% likelihood that he would fall through on anything. Like, pick me up from school, you know, help me with a homework assignment, like, call me when he said he would, like, it would never happen.
Ellen.
That probably affected Brian the most of any of the kids. He was the one that wanted to go with his dad. He's the one that waited for him. I think it hurt him a lot.
In a home movie, a young Brian grins.
He got arrested when I was 22. And I went and saw him in jail. And that was a moment for him.
Guess who came to see his dad? And words of judgment like, God, Dad, clean up your act? No. You can do it, Dad.
Teary-eyed, Richard presses his lips together.
Did anyone else come?
No. No.
In the clinic, Brian wraps a bandage around his father's arm.
Me being at that point, and being at this point, I mean, have Brian holding on to me, having Talmadge. What could be a better statement of reconciliation?
Richard and Brian hug.
Love you, Dad.
The three men wrap their arms around each other.
What a great experience. You feel the love?
It was one of the most precious life experiences we've ever had.
Richard laughs.
It morphed into this multi-generational healing bonding experience and was less about the therapeutic benefit.
Outside, Brian bends forward and Talmadge leaps over him.
I feel like a parent and a child that maybe takes different paths can find a place for a good relationship. But it has to be a joint effort for both.
As Ellen nods, she purses her lips together and furrows her brow.
Why are you having that reaction?
It's hard work sometimes, and it's not without its heartache, but it can be done.
At the airport, Brian, Richard, and Talmadge hug.
Having this time with my father, I reflected a lot on being a dad.
A family home movie.
All right, here we go. Okay, guys.
Hi, mister.
Hey, Talmadge.
It's been one of the most painful experiences of my life, where two of my children keep me at bay because I'm not part of their religious organization. So I feel like I missed out on a meaningful part of their lives. And it's been the most special experience of my life where one of my children has fully embraced me. I wish my other children would join me.
Talmadge locks eyes with his father. In the home gym, Talmadge watches as his father places a barbell down on a couple of hooks. Brian pulls himself up.
Hi, Talmadge. How are you?
Cool.
Talmadge slides a weight off the end of the barbell.
Talmadge, last night I did a phone call date with somebody I met on a dating app. We're going to go out on a date next week.
I wish her the best of luck.
You wish her the best of luck?
Yeah.
Relationships are really important. And, you know, with Talmadge leaving, I guess I need to rebuild my life.
I told her why it'd be a bad idea. She seemed undeterred.
Normally, when I engage with somebody and we're contemplating being friends, I make a list and I say, you know, here are the 10 reasons why I'm a bad idea. You know, I have this protocol that is rigorous. I'm impossibly hard to be with. And ultimately, you're just gonna hate me. And so I try to get out in front of it. And oftentimes people will laugh. And I'm like, no, for real, this is really what's gonna happen. I don't know, maybe it's a really bad strategy.
Kate.
Brian deserves to have companionship in his life. And I think he's always struggled to find that. I feel like there's a conflict within Brian between family Brian, the one that wants a partner, wants to just like hang out, you know, be around loved ones, and then the ambitious Brian who says like every ounce of my energy needs to be dedicated toward this mission.
Brian blows into a spirometer, leans back, grins, and checks his phone.
I went on 2 dates with this one woman, and we got along fairly well, but I think she basically was like, you're so far outside the norms, I just don't know if I can make sense of this whole thing.
Are you willing to change?
No. Let's just say relationships have never been my strength. I was married at the age of 24. I didn't have any girlfriends before that. So then when I got divorced 13 years later, I had no idea how to deal with partnership.
Brian is a complicated person. And I remember we had a conversation with some concerns, am I ever going to find someone that will really fit with me, realizing that he was quite unique.
I guess I just kind of stumbled through social interactions, and my first girlfriend, after getting a divorce, has ended up in a pretty ugly lawsuit.
Oh, that's a cool headline. Tech mogul Brian Johnson, who spends $2 million a year for 18-year-old body, cheated and dumped fiance after she got breast cancer. Lawsuit?
What?
How's that a lawsuit, though? Johnson had agreed to provide lifelong financial support. Oh, this is where the lawsuit comes in. Then she got breast cancer. She became a net negative. And a bad deal for him. He described her as a business term.
Oh, my God.
Brian's relationship with Taryn, I think, was a very sweet relationship for both of them. I saw how happy it made them. And so it was surprising to me to hear of some allegations.
Taryn filed a lawsuit against Brian. Taryn claimed after the cancer treatment, Brian demanded that she move out of the residence they shared.
He told her that he would be willing to assist her with rent and expenses, but only if she signed the separation agreement. Almost like, hey, sign this NDA and I'll give you the money.
She had no independent source of steady income. She tried to resist, but Brian was manipulative.
Being labeled as this awful person for all these things, I was rattled deeply. We dated for a couple years, and when we separated, she hired one of the most powerful law firms in the world. They sent me this letter demanding that I pay them $9 million that week, or they were going to make these scandalous statements about me. I felt like they were all false allegations, and so I said, I'm not doing it.
Okay, game face. What is game face? If someone were to put a game face on.
We were in arbitration where everything's confidential, but then the media found the lawsuit in the California courts and then published all of her allegations.
On the Daily Mail website, an article about Brian.
Facing the destruction of my personal reputation by my former girlfriend and fiance, it's hard for me to walk into a relationship and trust that there's not some alternative motive. You know, a lot of people, of course, say, like, boo-hoo, you're a rich person problems or whatever. Okay, sure. Also, it stinks because it does create a significant barrier for meaningful relationships because it complicates everything.
At a go-kart track, Talmadge puts on a helmet.
But with Talmadge, our relationship is rich and dynamic.
Game on. Woo! That was amazing. Where's Talmadge? I gotta find Talmadge. There he is.
Yes!
Did you see time? What is it?
I beat you.
Oh, no!
We can run it back tomorrow.
They pose in front of a backdrop that reads, The Grid.
I've never had a relationship in my life that has been this consistent and steady and soothing and fun. It has all the characteristics of everything I've always wanted in a best friend.
Yes!
You're killing it.
And so I think, yeah, there's a meaningful amount of influence that Talmadge has on this project.
Talmadge Brian Johnson.
At his graduation, Talmadge, wearing a cap and gown, jumps high in the air.
People think I'm fearful of death. I'm not. I love life. And I love living life with Talmadge.
Do you worry about him, or do you think he'll be good on his own?
I do worry about him. Like, yeah, we're going to really miss each other.
Yeah.
Previous generations, you have kids so that you can pass the torch. And now you have kids so that you can journey with them.
I mean, Don't Die is real. Like, I want to journey with Talmadge for some indefinite period of time.
Talmadge blows out candles on a cake.
I'm serious about this. I really do want to have multiple lifetimes with Talmadge and go through all the different phases. 100 years is not going to be enough.
At home, Brian, wearing a T-shirt which reads, "Don't Die," talks into a camera.
Ready?
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Today is one of the most exciting days of Blueprint. We're going to travel to an island just off the coast of Honduras, and I'm going to be injected with my first gene therapy. If you look at the age charts of humanity, humans have a 120-year ceiling. So if we want to say we're going to punch through this limitation of human lifespan, it's going to be through gene therapy. Underwear, socks, shorts, shirts.
Gene therapy is considered, you know, taking it as far as you can at this point. So it's kind of the extreme measure of treating biological aging.
The state of gene therapy at the moment is that we're using it in the clinic, but we're using it for very serious conditions. Conditions where we know that there is a single gene that's causing the problem. And we can say editing this gene in this way would be successful. The idea of using gene therapy for aging is hugely exciting. But today, the science just isn't ready. And in fact, there's quite a big risk because there are these things called off-target effects. And so this is where the gene therapy goes in and it modifies not just the DNA that you're trying to modify, but it modifies some other part of your genome.
Dr. Horvath.
Many interventions do rejuvenate cells, but that incurs a risk that the cells then turn into different cells, malignant cells, cancer cells.
Gene therapy is dangerous. And we have been evaluating various gene therapies for the past almost 2 years now. This is the only one that had the potential lifespan extenders that we were looking for that also met our safety criteria.
In what Brian's trying to do in his journey, is there any part of you that's nervous for what he's trying to achieve?
Yes. Yes. I am nervous where Brian's going because me, I'm logical and smart. When I get to the edge of the ledge, I stop. I've never taken the next step into the abyss.
Brian is on an airplane. Liz Parrish, founder, BioViva Sciences.
Generally, a person would get a gene therapy in a clinical trial. And the problem with clinical trials is they are limited. Certainly, there isn't gene therapy for aging in clinical trials at this moment. So other than that, you would travel for medical tourism. And one place that gene therapy is being offered is Roatan, Honduras. There is a free zone there called Prospera.
Mac Davis, Mini Circle, Inc.
Prospera is a special economic zone that the state of Honduras has licensed with the ability to create new business laws that are favorable to innovations like our gene therapy.
Walter.
Here, we're able to operate under a ethics review board and a committee that makes sure that we're doing everything up to standard.
All this that you see is Prospera.
I'm gonna look out for dinosaurs.
We're working on an axe.
You know, we are planning on doing trials in the United States. However, it's a thing, it takes some time, and it's not necessarily time devoted towards laboratory work. It's more of a thing of legal issues and having lawyers communicate on your behalf with a very large and very bureaucratic regulatory agency.
Brian steps out of a vehicle.
It's go time.
All right, this way.
If I'm being honest, Prospera is like a batshit crazy idea. It's like you just take over a little bit of land, set up all your own rules.
Ashley.
I like Mac and Walter very much. They seem like nice guys. They didn't strike me as you know, 20-year PhD-type scientist. And so it was like the first thing Brian's done where I really was like, is this a good idea?
Hey. If there's anything, you have any questions about whatever information you need, we will do our best to provide. Any kind of diagnostic, anything. We will do our best.
I appreciate that, Walter.
When me and Mac started the company, we wanted to make a big difference in people's lives. You know, we're dealt a certain hand at our birth. We're dealt with the genes we're given. And we want to give people options.
Follistatin is typed into Google.
this gene therapy, which is follistatin, has primarily been used in bodybuilding, where you're looking at increased muscle mass and strength.
Ryan Rossner.
For some people, bulking up is desirable, but generally with age, sarcopenia, osteoporosis, and frailty are severe problems. Our gene therapy treats that either preventatively in young people or in a reactive way in older people who are already experiencing it.
If you look at the mouse lifespan studies where it was used, they had a 30% lifespan extension. And so if I end up looking like a Marvel character, all the better.
Can I get some help on this? After the gene therapy, I'm not gonna fit in this thing, or maybe I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna Hulk out of it.
He's so confident, but I'm a little worried for him. Like, we just don't know how his body's gonna react. And I would hate for anything to happen to him.
A nurse ties a hairnet onto Brian. A syringe is prepared. Ryan.
It's really important to note, any gene therapy that integrates into your existing genome does change your DNA. Our gene therapy does not integrate. Once you get injected, it's not editing your DNA, it's just giving you an added piece of DNA that's parallel and creates a little export factory of follistatin.
Walter.
Most gene therapies, because they integrate into your chromosomal DNA, once it's there, and you can't turn it off. Our gene therapy doesn't integrate. And so we've introduced the concept of a kill switch.
It's potentially safer because if you want to turn it off, there's a few methods that we could use to make it reversible.
A nurse turns to Brian.
Hey, are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
All right, let's go.
Brian holds up his t-shirt, exposing his stomach.
Here it comes.
A doctor approaches with the syringe.
Stings just a little bit.
The doctor presses down on the plunger in the syringe, pulls the syringe away from Brian's stomach, and glances at Brian.
Jeez, I wish we could drag this out, but that's it.
Thanks, Doc. It was clean injections.
Yeah, good.
I am now officially a genetically enhanced human.
A video of Brian on YouTube.
When people see someone like me doing gene therapy, many think of inequality, or they see a divide between rich and poor. The way I think about it is, if we can prove that this gene therapy is safe and effective, and then 10,000 people are willing to do it, that price is going to go down. Doctor, thanks. Yeah, really appreciate you.
There are very expensive interventions like gene therapy that we need to test. For academics, it's prohibitively expensive to do the human clinical studies. And maybe longevity clinics where people pay a lot of money are places we can at least get some data. So I'm not against having clinics available. But once we find out how things work, we have to figure out how to scale them and make them broadly available.
I don't know if we'll live forever, but at least we absolutely will buy the next guy some more time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd rather give my children more years than I had the opportunity for. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so thank you so much for believing in us.
Yeah, thank you. Both of you.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
An infinity pool.
Wow. That looks still enough to walk on.
If we put a camera on top, I can walk on water here. From Homo sapien to Homo deus, testing out whether the gene therapy, if the effects have taken. Be careful, Jacob. Don't die. No one can die.
Jacob, perched on one end of the pool, videos Brian, who takes slow, deliberate steps across the pool.
Brian, when he was young, really lived from religion.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember a stage that he went through where, he literally wanted to be like Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, of course, is the founding prophet in Mormonism. And I think the thing that you see as a continuing principle with Brian, he wants his life to be such that he would stick out like a Joseph Smith. His reward will be when he affects change. Change to him is the aphrodisiac. It is the drug.
Health and wellness is a lot like religion. With the Bible,
it's not hard to make the argument that he gave up on the church, had to find a new religion, and has turned health and himself into this religion, and it's this very narcissistic enterprise.
15,000 views in 3 hours, 585 comments.
Receiving attention, having people care about what he's doing, I think he does care about that. But I don't actually think it, like, undermines what he's doing because it's so out there in the open.
I made a statement yesterday that Jesus has had 2,000 years. I don't see any evidence of his work. I've done more in 2 years.
How'd that go?
As you might expect.
He talks about himself as being kind of health Jesus with, like, a little bit of humor, but also, I think, quite a bit of pride.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
He's embracing the culty aspect of this all, and it only seems to be building more and more momentum.
How do you think I appear to your friends?
It's like the only way for me to understand that is if one of my friends' dads was starting a cult. And how I'd look at that. And I probably wouldn't think much of it because you're doing it.
Am I starting a cult?
Yes.
Am I?
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. It just is.
I know Brian's tried to force this to be a religion. There's a part of me, though, that thinks this is almost like the right religion for this moment. In some ways, it is like this antidote to the way the world thinks about health.
There are still serious concerns about the nation's healthcare system.
The National Health Service is broken.
Why is the system letting doctors and patients down?
The approach to health in pretty much every developed nation has really been centered around waiting until people develop a disease and then attempting to cure that disease, but in reality, pretty much just treating symptoms. One of the consequences of that is that the prevalence of chronic disease has increased dramatically over the last 50 years.
We think, you know, I'll go to bed at 90 and I'll die in my sleep. That almost never happens. If you go into a geriatric ward and you see people incontinent, immobile, if we do look at it, if we stare this in the face, it's particularly unpleasant.
At the moment, we are spending so much money treating very sick individuals. I think we have to ask, why wouldn't you invest earlier in life to keep them healthy, to not having so many people with age-related diseases?
You know, in the U.S., doctors are generally paid on procedures. And I remember when I was at the Buck doing research on aging, there was a large hospital chain that was thinking about giving a donation to the research, and we talked about health span, and the CEO looked at me and said, well, if we do this, you're going to cut our procedure rate by 60%. Why would I do this? And so we need to think about how we really want to focus on the health of the population.
A headline reads, healthcare is sick and profit is the disease.
I think that's the most, like, admirable part about what Brian is doing. It's the most proactive thing you could imagine. And if the medical system was wired even just, like, a little bit more this way, I think it'd probably be good for the rest of us.
Brian.
If we can solve this fundamental problem, we may walk into a future where all of us live healthier and longer with the people that we care about.
At home, Brian and Talmadge are hanging out in the open plan living room.
3 days. That's so wild to me.
I know, it's here.
Think of it, I've been acting all tough guy. Like, yeah, I'm going off to college.
Oh.
But when I start to think about it, like,
I'm defeated.
Oh, shit.
I'll get over it. I just feel defeated.
It's like you got me, but now you're losing me again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talmadge studies his father.
Yeah.
Brian and Talmadge play a game of table tennis.
No! Oh, no!
1921. It's a close game, Dad. I was down. Then you were down.
Yeah, you came back, but come back. Good job.
You too.
Good game. I've always been the Talmadge whisperer. From the moment he came out of the womb, I was the one who could quiet him, settle him. And it was just my little Talmadge. And this week, he's ready to go.
Hi, mister.
Do you need help with anything today?
No. My priorities involve stuff I do by myself. With kids' help.
Kate folds clothes and places them in a pile.
He's learned everything he needs to learn from me. And I was just going through the typical parental process of having, you know, someone leave your nest.
Yeah, I like it.
Cute.
Yeah.
Talmadge carries luggage downstairs. Kate extends the handle of the suitcase and picks up a bag. Luggage is carried outside.
Talmadge Brian Johnson, ready to go.
As soon as I step past this, I'm out.
The voyage begins.
Talmadge holds his father's gaze as he walks through the open gate.
Welcome, Talmadge.
Thank you.
On an airplane, Talmadge, wearing a mask, looks to one side. On a monitor, the flight path is shown. On a freeway, traffic flows. Words appear, Chicago, Illinois. In the city, a train trundles across a bridge as traffic passes underneath.
Talmadge, happy college prep day. Do we have a starting plan? Are we going to kitchen stuff first? Are we following you around? Are we engaged in the process? Do you know what you're going to do? You got linens over here.
Linens and a comforter.
What's your bed size?
Oh, so complicated.
Over here, Talmadge.
In a store, Brian tosses something to Talmadge.
You got me?
Yeah.
Talmadge hangs onto the back of a shopping cart. Storage containers are taken off a shelf.
Oh, God. I confess, I just about started crying. When we walked by that place, all the little toys.
I saw you.
Yeah, I did. I lost my breath.
Kind of goes against your whole emotionless thing.
Yeah. Oh.
Talmadge and Brian are standing in an aisle with their arms wrapped around one another.
Why am I crying in Target?
Brian, his arms folded across his chest, gazes at the floor.
So much going on inside of me, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm. He glances at Talmadge and nods.
Okay. Like a blue? Gray? Green?
I think I'm a green kind of guy.
Brian takes a green towel off a shelf.
These past 150 days, Talmadge has been this presence in my life. We just love each other. And if we look at all the science about humans, the humans thrive in community. They thrive in positive relationships. Yeah, it's not a good thing to be alone. So I wouldn't be so brazen to think that I'm going to defy what the science shows on human connection and community.
Do you have a plan?
No.
As Brian drives along a freeway, Talmadge, sitting in the back seat, glances out of the window.
Welcome to the University of Chicago.
Talmadge closes the back door of the car. Brian, Talmadge, and Kate carry luggage into a dorm hall.
Do you see it? Right there.
Talmadge steps into his dorm room.
This is perfect. We have a fan. That's nice.
These are nicer than I have. Do you have a preference on which side you want exposed to your skin? See, this is front, face, left.
I feel like it's really gonna hit once you say goodbye to me when I'm in my dorm. Yeah, I've never felt more understood by anyone than with you. So yeah, I hope you don't die.
In the dorm room, Talmadge and Brian hug.
I don't know, I just keep reflecting on all the things that have happened this year. All the life lessons. Yeah, it's gonna be hard to rival this.
Thank you, too.
They pull apart and Brian pats Talmadge on the shoulder.
All right, Talmadge, Brian Johnson.
Second version of you.
Talmadge, wearing a University of Chicago sweatshirt, looks at Brian.
Let's get after it.
Yep.
Kate holds the door open as Brian rolls a suitcase outside and carries it down a flight of steps. Kate, holding a suitcase, follows him. An airplane flies over a city. In an airport, Brian stands on an escalator. At a baggage carousel, Brian watches suitcases pass him on the conveyor belt. At night, Brian, sitting in the back seat of a car, stares out of a window. At home, Brian switches a light on in the living room and stares at the couch. He dims the lights and shuffles into the kitchen.
The house is awfully quiet.
Placing a hand on the kitchen counter, he slips out of his shoes.
I guess now it's real. It never felt real.
And now it's quiet, just still. I wonder how he's feeling.
Sunlight streams through leaves and trees in Brian's yard. Inside, Brian and Kate, both at standing desks, look at their computers as they work side by side.
Can I show you this solution?
Yes.
You want to look at my screen? So let's say you're just like on the Blueprint website, you're just looking at food, there's this.
How are you feeling today?
You know, in many ways, I don't think I really could have gone to the next stage until I got things settled with Talmadge. I really needed him to be in a good place at school or on his next stage of life, and I think he's there, so I feel emboldened to take my next step too.
Brian steps out of his house 4 months later.
Ready, let's do this.
Brian, driving, casts a quick glance at the camera.
Hey, what's up, friends? Today is Don't Die Hike number 4. It was less than 2 months ago that I messaged out on social media, hey, I'm going on a hike, join me. And I had 11 people. Today, there's over 400 people. Oh my goodness, this is a lot of cars.
Wow. Wait, there's more people than this is.
What? This is crazy.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Hi. You look 10 years younger than last time.
Big group hug in the morning.
Brian opens his arms out wide as the group of hikers crowd around him, their arms outstretched.
Over time, I guess I've gone through different stages of my feelings about Brian. At the very beginning, his lifestyle struck me as quite solitary. But as more people have bought into this, he actually seems to be creating these friendships I never expected.
Okay, well, let's go up this way.
For Brian, I can tell there's a lot of enjoyment from this. And so I think he's kind of flipped the narrative.
You made it! Good job, everyone!
I'll confess, this is a cult. It's a sick and twisted cult to get you to go to bed on time.
There's little bits and pieces of that that are unnerving, but I think I see him now almost as like a philosopher. I mean, he's sort of trying to prove a point.
Okay, cool.
It's this, like, don't die thing, which I really thought was sort of a joke as I saw this evolving. But there is some merit to it, I think. Whether you believe in Brian or what he's doing or not, it's an interesting question to ask if society has just taken a wrong turn. I think it drives some people crazy and it inspires others.
What's up, guys? I'm Talmadge.
I'm Charles.
I'm Kylie.
And we're hosting the Don't Die event in Chicago.
Don't die in Chicago!
Don't die from Cologne.
Don't die in Dublin.
Don't die from Santa Fe.
In Barcelona.
In Hong Kong.
What we're talking about is really a medical revolution. If there's an opportunity to stay healthy and stay functional and see your grandkids, would you rather have that or would you rather wait until you get Alzheimer's and take some drug that slows the progression down by 30%? Aging is not inevitable, at least it can be delayed. And you can do that right now, probably by changing your lifestyle.
Lifestyle factors are obvious, but it's important. From sleep quality, dietary modifications, regular exercise, and social interactions, we can get 10 years, 15 years of extra quality life. And that number will probably get bigger with time as we develop more effective interventions.
You can see right there that fluid is mesenchymal stem cells.
We haven't obviously yet got any human treatments that I'm happy to recommend. But I think because I know that these treatments are being developed and I think they're potentially going to be available within our lifetimes, I'm much more excited by following basic health advice because it means I'll hopefully be alive and healthy long enough to benefit from these first treatments. And what's even more exciting is that then if I benefit from those first treatments, maybe I'll live another few years longer. And that then means that gives scientists even more time to develop the second or the third round of these treatments.
Of course, it's going to take time to develop interventions, but I'm certain that at some point, two teenagers will have a conversation with each other and they'll be looking at their history books and they'll be commenting something like, oh my God, people just withered and died. Isn't that so tragic? The same way as we look at, you know, people just two lifetimes ago not having an anesthetic or an antibiotic. And, you know, we look back and we go, geez, that's horrendous. When it happens, though, it's completely a product of what we do. How much effort and money and energy we put into this. to create a movement of people utterly engaged in keeping people healthy as long as possible.
Hi, everyone. I hope you guys feel like you're among your people, like-minded people, trying not to die. I'm happy you came. I love you.
Are you happy?
Never been happier in my entire life.
I don't know if I can do it.
I've never seen him happier than he is now. And just think about that. When you're content with who you are and you're engaged in a project that is everything that you want to do, doesn't that set up as a happy place?
To hear him say to me, I've never been happier in my life, I think releases me from worry, knowing that he can go on like this.
I've experienced wanting to die intensely, and now I'm in a situation where I want to live with everything that I am.
At the Don't Die dance party, Brian, wearing a crop top, lip syncs as he dances. In his bathroom, Brian, bare-chested, switches on the light and picks up the small medical device.
And so, yeah, I want to continue to exist. And I don't feel any need to justify myself. I'm a disaster of an intelligent being, but hey, you know what? I'm trying my best. Okay, I'm gonna go try to pick up a car.
Words appear. 6 months after receiving follistatin gene therapy, Brian's muscle mass increased by 7%. In February 2024, Brian returned to Honduras for another round of treatment.
Hey.
His father joined him. As of November 2024, Brian's pace of aging has dropped to 0.64, his personal best. Audio description by Posthouse VSI Los Angeles. Audio description scriptwriter Mari Morrison. Audio description narrator Jonathan Bradley. Credits appear. Directed by Chris Smith. Produced by Chris Smith and Ashley Vance. Producer Daniel Kohler. Edited by Daniel Kohler and Paul Treewortha, BFE. Cinematographer, Chris Smith. Music by Leopold Ross and Nick Chuba. Director of Visual Effects and Animation, Stephen Nadalman. Other credits follow. Logos appear. Library Films. Cinetic.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.